الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحج أشهر معلومات فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى واتقون يا أولي الألباب وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه وعنهم قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من حج لله فلم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع كيوم ولدته أمه آمنت بالله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Ulama ikram, most respected elders, brothers and sisters listening over the receivers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The manat, the moon of Eid, was sighted a month back, or slightly more than a month back. Then the days of Hajj commenced. So in the month of Ramadan, Muslims and believers fulfilled by and large four great pillars of Deen and Islam. And the minute that completed, then the fifth pillar of Islam was ready to be fulfilled. In other words, they were Muslims and believers, so that is the first pillar of Islam. Namaz is the second pillar of Islam. Fasting is the third pillar of Islam. And many people fulfill their zakat also during the month of Ramadan. So four great pillars of Islam are fulfilled during the month of Ramadan. And the minute the moon of Eid is sighted, then globally, now people are ready to embark upon the journey of the lifetime. Many people have to save and put together their lifelong savings to embark upon this journey solely for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And being the days of Hajj and the fact that many amongst us might be going and embarking upon this journey, and for the benefit of the congregation in general, I thought that it would be appropriate to discuss some aspects of Hajj, particularly with regards to the spiritual aspects of Hajj. The fiqhi jurisprudential aspects of Hajj, people generally read up, they go for classes, they learn about the fiqhi aspects of Hajj, and by and large those are fulfilled to a great extent. But when it comes to the spiritual aspects of Hajj, then it is very important for us to latch on to those, because the spirit of Hajj is in those spiritual aspects of Hajj. Ulama have mentioned that ibadat, if you have to categorize them, then they are of three categories, broadly speaking. A category of ibadat has to do only with our physical acts, like salah or fasting. It affects our spiritual bodies, our physical bodies. And a category of ibadat have to do with monetary aspects, like our zakat, our sadaqat, and aspects such as those, our charities. Hajj is unique in the fact that there is a dual dimension to Hajj. It involves a person spending monetarily, And there is physical exertion as well when it comes to the fulfillment of this Hajj. And just like all our ibadat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, and it has been quoted as well as the first hadith quoted by Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi in his Al-Jami'u Sahih in Bukhari Sharif, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Our actions are judged by the intentions that we do them with. And what is referred to as ikhlas and sincerity. And this is what is going to be weighed on the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that تبارك الذي بيده الملك الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created death and life to see which of you are best in action. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala did not use the word which of you have done and undertaken the most actions, which of you have undertaken the most amount of hajj, which of you have prayed the most amount of nafil ibadat, which of you have engaged in other ibadat in abundance. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the yardstick of success in the hereafter is ayyukum ahsanu amala, which of you is best in action. And the ulama write, the muhaddiseen, the mufassireen, the commentators of the Quran Sharif, that ahsanu amala means which of you has got the most amount of ikhlas, sincerity, and lillahiyat when he embarks upon any act. Rasulullah sallallahu, and this is what we refer to as ikhlas. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in one hadith that tahujju aghniya'u ummati littanazzuhi wa awsatuhum littijarati wa qurra'uhum lirriya'i wa sum'ati wa fuqara'uhum lilmas'alati. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that the rich, a time is going to come when the rich amongst my ummah will perform Hajj and they will make the destination of Makkah a holiday spot. So last year, someone went to Paris and the other person went to New York. So this year we'll go for Hajj. تَحُجُّ أَغْنِيَاءُ أُمَّتِي لِلتَّنَزُّهِ وَأَوْسَاطُهُمْ لِلتِّجَارَةِ. And the middle class will embark upon this journey solely for tijarat and commercial activity for business. وَقُرَّاءُهُمْ لِلْرِّيَاءِ وَالسُّمْعَةِ. And the ulama will embark upon this great journey, or the learned amongst the people, or those who are called learned or known as learned people amongst the people, will embark upon this journey for riya and sum'at, for show, name and fame. وَفُقَرَاءُهُمْ لِلْمَسْأَلَةِ. And the poor amongst my ummah will embark upon this journey for mas'ala, for asking and begging. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith, as well as the hadith which we discussed a little earlier, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, is saying that our intention for embarking upon this journey must be ikhlas. It must be absolutely for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this concept and aspect of ikhlas becomes even more important when it comes to hajj as compared to other ibadat. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was addressing the sahaba and discussing with them, and he explained to them that upon you is that you make hajj. It is farz, obligatory, compulsory upon the every Muslim male and female who has the means of getting to Makkah Mukarrama to make hajj. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this, then one sahabi, Hazrat Aqra ibn Habis radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he got up or he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Alim amina hada ya Rasulullah amlin abad. That this hajj that you are speaking about, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is it only for one time, once in our lifetime that we have to do the hajj, or is it every year that we have to do our hajj? Every year, is it obligatory upon the entire ummah to make hajj? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remained silent. And according to some narrations, Hazrat Aqra ibn Habis repeated the question. Until he repeated it thrice, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him that, O Aqra, it is once that you have to make the hajj. And if I had said that you had to make it every year, then it would have become wajib and obligatory upon you, and you would have not been able to complete it. Therefore, do not ask me questions like this. Because it was in the time, the people of the past got destroyed because of asking excessive questions from the Anbiya or from the Nabis. So Hazrat Aqra ibn Habis radiallahu, so Hajj is farz once in a lifetime. And in some narrations, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Al-Hajju marratan, faman zada, fahuwa tatawwu'un. Aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Hajj is once, and whoever does more than that, then it is nafil. So this aspect of ikhlas and sincerity becomes more important when it comes to Hajj. Because when it comes to salah, when it comes to zakat, when it comes to fasting, when it comes to other ibadat, then even if the person doesn't have the level of sincerity and ikhlas, the level of dedication and concentration that he's supposed to have in his salah, if he doesn't have it the first time, then he gradually develops. But Hajj is once, and that level of ikhlas and sincerity has to be there from the very beginning. Therefore, it is very, very important for us, those embarking upon this journey, whether it is the first time or it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the opportunity to go on multiple occasions, that ikhlas and sincerity must be at the forefront of a person's niyat and intention. And the second thing that is of utmost importance is that the wealth with which a person goes for Hajj, the earnings with which a person goes for Hajj, those earnings must be halal, they must be wholesome, they must be pure, they must be acceptable, and what is referred to nowadays in our terminology, Sharia compliant earnings. Many a times, we embark upon the journey with impermissible earnings. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in one hadith, if I'm not mistaken, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith that a person embarks upon the journey of Hajj, and as he gets out of his home, as he starts embarking upon the journey, فَنَادَى مُنَادٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ, a caller calls out from the heavens and he says that your earnings are haram, your conveyance is haram, the clothes that you have on your back are haram. حَجُّكَ غَيْرُ مَبْرُورٌ, your hajj is not accepted in the eyes of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Return. Many of us feel that if we are selling something impermissible, or if we are employed in an organization which engages in impermissible activity, so that has an effect on our earnings. And the importance that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have given to our earnings, really it cannot be overemphasized. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the feet of Ibn Adam will not move from their place on the day of Qiyamah until the person is asked 5 questions. And of those 5 questions, 2 questions relate to the person's earnings. In other words, 40% of the questions that will be asked on the day of Qiyamah before your feet can move will be with regards to your earnings. An malihi min ayna anfaqa, min ayna iktasab wa fima anfaq. That where did you earn this wealth from and how was it spent? Rasulullah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, Ya ayyuhar rusul, kulu min at-tayyibat wa amalu saliha. That eat that which is halal and wholesome, and do righteous and pious actions. It shows that there is a direct link between the food that we eat and the actions that emanate from our bodies. If the food that we eat and the earnings that we, and it's not only the food, it's not about finding out whether the chicken is halal or the chicken is haram. It's about which wealth was used in acquiring that chicken as well. The chicken might have been slaughtered in the absolutely absolute permissible way, taking the name of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and bismillahi Allahu Akbar, and the person slaughters the chicken, but if it was purchased with wealth which was haram, then that becomes objectionable. That is offending in terms of the Sharia. So to ensure that one's earnings are halal and permissible and wholesome, that is also of utmost importance when a person embarks upon this journey. Many of us hardly care when we enter into transactions. And it might be done very, very innocently. I met a person this week, and he said to me that we entered into a partnership agreement. Now, after many, many years, after 10 years, there is a great amount of dispute and large sums of money that are involved. But we engaged in, this was not even part of the dispute that he mentioned to me. He said that we entered into this contract of partnership, and the agreement was that one of the partners, I'll pay him out at whatever money he put in other words, his capital was guaranteed, plus a little profit. So we hardly are concerned about whether such transactions are even permissible or not. If a partner's capital is guaranteed, the Sharia looks at it as a loan, period. And any compensation that he gives or gets over and above that is regarded as interest. So many a times when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and he mentioned, he said that لَعَنَ اللَّهُ آكِلَ الرِّبَى وَمُوكِلَهُ وَكَاتِبَهُ وَشَاهِدَيْنِ وَقَالَهُمْ سَوَى. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah ta'ala's curse be upon the one who takes interest, who gives interest, who writes, who is the scribe of the transaction and the one who witnesses such a transaction, then may such a person be cursed. We hardly realize that these disputes that are occurring might be because of something that we have done in our life which might not have been correct. Because the curse doesn't only manifest itself in the loss of wealth, it doesn't only manifest itself in some form of accident, or it won't only manifest itself in the akhirat, but it manifests itself in different ways in this very world. And a person who is from the outside, it is very clear to him that this is the reason why that curse has manifested itself. So we have to be very, very careful in as far as our earnings are concerned. How we deal and interact with people, it is something of great importance. Nevertheless, this is the other aspect when it comes to Hajj and the spiritual aspects of our Hajj. Number one we discussed was our ikhlas and sincerity, that it should be done solely for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There's no name, there's no fame, and there comes about as well that if you have to go to Makkah Mukarrama and Medina Munawwara nowadays, you'll hardly find a person who is not engaged in photography or videography. Something or the other. He poses there with his hands like that in front of the Kaaba Sharif, and he asks one of his friends to take a picture of him. So is that for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Is that the person is making tawaf and he's taking a selfie of himself while he's walking around the Kaaba Sharif. And before it's even finished, that tawaf, it's already on Facebook. It's already on other multimedia or social media sites. So is that for the sake of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? The one who we are doing it for, he is watching and he is seeing. What is the need for us to embark upon, despite being a sign of insincerity? It is absolute disregard, disrespect for the ibadat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Just as how a person when he is praying salah, he would not take a picture of himself praying salah. When the person is making hajj, when the person is making tawaf, when the person is making sa'i, the person doesn't engage in these sort of things. Then one of the other important aspects when it comes to hajj, and our Shaykh Hazrat Mulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi would stress upon it, is the protection of our eyesight. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he says that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was returning from Muzdalifah to Mina, so he says, my young brother Hazrat Fazl ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was sitting behind the conveyance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said he was young, he was handsome. And a young woman from the tribe of Khath'am came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to ask some questions, some mas'ala, some ruling with regards to Hajj. And she asked the question that, Ya Rasulullah, my father If I'm not mistaken, this must be the question, that my father, Hajj was compulsory upon him, he has the means, but he doesn't have the physical ability to come for Hajj, he cannot sit on a conveyance. He's elderly. So she asked this question, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that I saw that she فَجَعَلَتْ تَنْذُرُ إِلَيْهِ وَيَنْذُرُ إِلَيْهَا. She began to look at my brother, Hazrat Fazl ibn Abbas, and now and again Hazrat Fazl ibn Abbas also began to look at her. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this. He sensed that he was looking at her. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned the face of Hazrat Fazl ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma away, and he said to him that, where are you looking? So if it could have happened in the time of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, then it happens in our times. I remember once Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel sahab rahmatullah alayhi, he said a person saw a dream in Medina Sharif, and he came and he asked Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel sahab the interpretation of that dream, and it had absolutely nothing to do with what interpretation Maulana was about to give. But Maulana said to him that, are you sure you want the own interpretation of the dream? He said, yes, I'm sure I want it. He said, you're not going to get upset with me. I said, I won't get upset with you. He said, the interpretation of the dream is that you have committed zina in Medina Sharif. The person committed zina in Medina Sharif, and when Maulana asked him, he said, yes, I confess that I did commit that sin and that crime. But it all starts off with looking at with protecting the eyes and the gazes. How many people are engaged in the tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif, and their eyes are going around here and there. And if you have to say to them, then Maulana's got nothing better to speak about, but to speak about this. But if you have to ask people how much they are involved in this sin and this crime, and then what things it leads to, then عشق بتا کی منزل ختم ہے سب گناہ پر. عشق بتا کی منزل ختم ہے سب گناہ پر, جس کی ہو انتہا غلط کیسے صحیح ہو ابتدا. Our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, he says that these relationships, these illicit relationships, they all end up in sin. They all end up in fornication, in adultery, in vices. So if the end result was incorrect, how could the beginning be correct? And they say that Maulana, there must be eye contact when we speak, but it's that very eye contact that then leads to these things. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says in no uncertain terms in the Quran Sharif, يَغُضُّ قُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Ya Rasulullah, tell the believers to lower their gazes and guard their chastity. Because lowering the gazes, if it was not related to the guarding of the chastity, then Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala would not have mentioned it together. And separately Allah Ta'ala tells the believing woman to lower their gazes and to guard their. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. And tell the believing woman to also lower their gazes and guard their chastity. So this is another aspect of Hajj. One sight in the wrong direction, and all the noor and the spirituality of Hajj will depart. Another aspect that we need to be careful about is unnecessary gossip, chit-chat. And sorry, when it comes to the previous aspect as well, many people feel that because the person made Hajj together, they came away Haji Bhai and Haji Behen, and therefore now there's no relation, there's a mahram sort of relationship that's been created between them, because they've embarked upon this journey together. So there's no such thing that because you made Hajj together, that means they can be free relationship with each other, free sort of talking, speaking with each other. These laws of the Quran Sharif, these laws of the Hadith of Allah Ta'ala, they are not there to stifle or hinder our progress. They are there to help us progress in the path of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The last aspect that I want to speak about, and people very much get involved in this, is that value your time in the holy places of Makkah Mukarrama and Medina Munawwara. Many a times we don't, because there's no work in what we call work to do, there's no business to go to, there's no place of employment to go to, so that time is spent in unnecessary chit-chat, gossip in the lobbies of hotels or in shopping. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, when you go to Medina Sharif, then bring the true maal of Medina Sharif, the true wealth of Medina Sharif, the true things that are available. And that true maal of Medina Sharif is not what's available in the bazaar, in the marketplaces. It is the akhlaq and the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that must come into our heart. And I'll just terminate with one particular example that he used to give. And he used to say, and really it's an eye-opener for all of us. He used to say that if anyone has to ask anyone that how was your Hajj? How was Makkah Sharif? How was Medina Munawwara? So did you ever hear anyone saying that no, it wasn't nice? Did you ever hear anyone saying that no, this year it was really terrible, man. I didn't enjoy it at all. Did anyone ever say that? Even if the person has got the weakest of iman, and even if he didn't enjoy it, that person will definitely say, no, it was absolutely wonderful. Nothing like it, Maulana. The crowds in Makkah, so great. And the peace and serenity that we get in Medina Sharif, nothing like it. So don't we say those sort of things? We do say those sort of things. But Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say that the question to ask is not that. The question to ask is, was your host happy with your coming? In Makkah Sharif, our host is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. In Medina Munawwara, the host is Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Were they happy with our coming? And then he used to give an example. He said, if a person has got a flat, he's got a penthouse flat, and he rents it, or he gives it to someone, some friends of his, and he tells the friends of his, use it as you want. And you can come here and have a holiday, and those friends come and they spend 10 days, they spend 2 weeks there. And when they leave the pampers of the children all over the show. The bones and the food that they ate is discarded in an incorrect manner. And the dishes are not washed. And the children have written on the walls. So when you ask that person that how was your holiday? He says, I had a wonderful time. What a great holiday I had. I really enjoyed myself. But if you have to ask the host, he says, I wish the person doesn't come back here again. So let it not be that our hosts in Makkah Mukarrama and Medina Munawwara have to say things like that. That we wish that this person doesn't come back again to Makkah Mukarrama and Medina Munawwara. Have the azmat, the greatness of these places. Keep your cell phones away while in ibadat. If you can help it, while you're in the haram, let it be in the hotel. And if you can't, then at least let them be on silent. Don't take them out to take a snapshot of someone, to take a picture. If you want pictures of the Kaaba Sharif and pictures of Medina Munawwara, plenty of them are available. You don't have to be there in the background or in the foreground. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal. Allah ta'ala accept the hajj of all those who are going for hajj. And Allah ta'ala remove the calamities, the difficulties of the ummah around the world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.